Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Back in November, I preached a message during Disciple Now weekend, basically on don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's what we found that came out of Disciple Now with our students and what we see here pastorally with the staff here at the Heights Fellowship, and that is this thing. There are a lot of our people who are dealing with really difficult issues, who are dealing with really strange and hard emotions about a lot of things. There's a lot of people that may feel and think and wonder, man, I think I may be depressed. I'm not sure really how to handle that. And so as a staff, as we thought through that, we realized we have access to two of the most amazing teachers and counselors that are among us on pretty much a daily basis. Our own Jim Archer, who leads worship for us, that's what he does. And then many of you guys are acquainted because she's spoken here before, and some of you guys have actually had the opportunity to talk to her, Cheryl Carpenter. And so I decided I'm going to ask Cheryl and ask Jim over the next couple of weeks to come and share a little bit about how our minds work and how we process and how we deal with these things, and then to bring on top of it the idea of how can I be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And to kind of give you guys some practical help and grip on that as well. And so Cheryl's going to start with us this morning. Let me introduce her. This is Cheryl Carpenter. I've known Cheryl about as long as I've known anybody in Lubbock, Texas. When I first met her, she was a mom who loved Jesus, and she's still a mom who loved Jesus, but over the years, she's gone back to school, and she has become a therapist, and she is great at what she does. She is, and I'm not saying this just because she's standing up here with me, she is my ace. When I have somebody that I need to send somebody to, she's always my first call. And so I just know that I have great belief in her. She has an anointing not only from the Lord about the things of the Scripture, but about the things of our hearts and our minds and how we think. And she's going to share that today and probably even a couple of weeks from now on the 17th as well. Jim is going to speak next week, parents particularly about adolescence, but some other stuff as well. And so, man, strap in, gear up, let's get ready to go. And this is going to be an amazing, amazing day for us as a church body. And so I hope you enjoy this. I hope you get great benefit out of it and you let the Holy Spirit do Holy Spirit stuff in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Cheryl and her willingness to come and share not only from her great training, but from her heart and from her relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that you have what you already did in first hour. But Lord, I pray that you would give her all the resources of stamina and strength as she is in the process of recovering from illness over the holidays. Lord, just be with her and be near her. And Lord, open our hearts to the great truths that you're going to deliver. So we give this time to you, for you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Wasn't that worship incredible? Absolutely. Very good. Very, very good. You guys are just blessed as a congregation to have Jim and his band to lead you to before the Lord. I was just thinking, John Piper wrote that by nature, our minds are not worshiping minds. Our minds are self-worshiping minds. Would you agree with me? Absolutely. And if anybody here says, no, I don't think about myself, I think about everybody else, I just give myself away, liar, liar, pants on fire, because you're a human being, and every one of us are self-centered. We come into the world self-centered, don't we? And some of us spend our lives being self-centered. And, you know, Jesus' command was for us to go out into the world and to tell people the good news. But not only that, he told us, basically, not to be self-centered, to be others-centered. Now, that looks good on the drawing board, but I don't know about y'all, but I struggle with that all the time. Because I ride in the Cheryl Carpenter vehicle, and sometimes I blame it on the vehicle, but more times than not, it's the driver that makes the decisions of where I go and what I say and what I do. So today, I'm going to kind of touch the tip of the iceberg with you on a huge subject called depression. When Mike asked Jim and I to talk about this, he and I both got together and scratched our heads and said, how in the world are we going to fit all of the information into just a small piece of time? And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about depression today. When I was doing my studies in college to become a therapist and a counselor, I took a class called Abnormal Psychology. Now, I can tell you this. When I was studying abnormal psychology, many times after studying and then listening to the professor, I would say to myself, oh my gosh, I must be schizophrenic. I'm bipolar. That's what's wrong with me. It's not hormones. I've got something wrong with me. And it just seemed like I took on quite a few things and, you know, I was almost fearful. What if I tell someone and they go, yeah, we were waiting for you to get that epiphany. But when I talked to my cohorts, they all said, you know what? We have all fallen into that. Looking at those things and thinking, well, maybe that's me. Maybe that's me. I think that the scripture says we are like sheep, that we've gone astray, and we are. We kind of follow in behind stuff, don't we? Absolutely. And so what I want to do to preface everything that Jim and I are going to talk about and hopefully help teach you about is this. Depression is absolutely real. It is so pervasive in our society right now, it's frightening to me. We see preschoolers with it. We see adolescents with it. It knows no culture, no gender, no age. I don't care if you're a bajillionaire or if you've got one penny in your pocket. It has no discrepancy about who it attacks. And what we're going to do in the days to come, hopefully on the 17th when I come back, I'm going to do a little bit more of a microscopic look at what are some of the, you know, what puts us at risk for that. I can tell you this before I get to the end of this, that depression is 80 to 90% treatable. 80 to 90% treatable. No one should labor with depression. And so what I want to caution you about is when I talk to you about depression, some of you are going to take it in and you're going to say, oh my gosh, that's me. That's Mark, my husband. My boss. That's what you're going to do. And so I want to tell you, let's be aware of that, because one of the things that we know is that Satan is like a roaring lion. He's wanting to seek, he's wanting to kill, and he's going to want to destroy you. And so don't think for one minute that if you don't start saying, well, man, I'm depressed, that in the spiritual realm, there's not going to be a demon that's going to say, yeah, you are. Nobody likes you. You'd be better off if you weren't here. You know, and I'm speaking truth to you because that is in the Bible and we know that. So I want you to be aware of that. I'll pull the curtain back on Satan today, quite like Toto in The Wizard of Oz pulled the curtain back on The Wizard of Oz. Okay, so today I want you to kind of keep that in mind. I have a very deep interest in this. In that there's depression in my family, especially, well, in both my mother and father's family. My father, let me just talk about my mother. My mother's sister, only sibling, who was 43 years old, died from an overdose of drugs. She was a drug addict and alcoholic, and depression was what drove that. My mother's father was alcoholic and died from acute alcoholism. His father was an alcoholic, and all four of his brothers. And one thing that we know that exacerbates or is like pouring gasoline on a fire with depression is putting drugs or alcohol on top of it. Alcohol is a depressant. It doesn't make sense. If I'm depressed, I drink alcohol. Does it? You know, it's like saying, I need to lose weight. I'm going to go hang out at Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And so, in myself, I have had circumstantial depression, especially in the year 2015. I had to go in and see the doctor and tell him, I think I need an antidepressant, and I'm a therapist. And he said to me, so what is it, what kind of antidepressants have you taken before? I said, I've never taken antidepressants. I've just got some circumstances in my life that I can't seem to get over. And here's what I told him. I said, oh, and by the way, if you give me anything that blows me up like a toad, I'm going to be real depressed, ladies. And so I know full well what the depression, what it is about. Now, another thing that I want you to know is this. Even though we're living in an age of technology and communication, you know, we're so well networked together, it has only been just a short period of time that people were put into insane asylums. Some of you folks that are older, shake your head at me. Do y'all remember hearing that? Insane asylums. Mental health institutes where they lock folks away. And that it was a taboo. There are a lot of folks that they learned that they would put them in what they called an insane asylum, that they later found out they were not insane at all, but because they put them into a population of people that had mental illness, they took it on. Have you ever heard this? If you're around a depressed person long enough, you're going to get depressed? Absolutely. And so we are not that far away from that stigma of if there is something, if you're depressed, if you have anxiety, if you have bipolar disorder, if there's something wrong with you, don't tell anybody because you're broken and you're crazy. And I don't know about you, but as a therapist, I'm so sick and tired of that. Satan holding us captive there, because we are body, we are mind, and we're spirit. That's how we're created. If you had cancer and you said, well, I don't want anybody to know, and I'm just going to overcome this just by thinking, well, how crazy would that be? So we have to take care of our body and our mind and our spirit. And so what I'm in hopes of, we break that stigma, and especially as Christians and as believers. I have a book at home that says, this is the name of the book, I Can't Be an Alcoholic, I'm a Christian. Really, think on that for a couple of minutes. We're writing in a body that has a sin nature. We are weak. Even Paul wrote, I can't wait to get out of this earth tent. You remember him referring to his body like that? That he dwells in this tent and it moans and it groans. I want to be out of it, he said. And so it only makes sense that we have to understand the nature of this vehicle that we are spending time in. And as Christians, we can't have our head in the clouds and say, well, I can overcome, mind over matter this. You know, I can't be depressed, because I want to tell you something about depression. Many things can cause it. And there's depression from a death, rightly so, losing your job. I mean, there are speed bumps in life, would y'all agree, that throw you into the blues, you know, or put you in the dumps. There are those things. But depression is like this. If you don't watch it, it will invade your house. I remember listening to a speaker one time, and he talked about when he was in college, they had probably four or five, maybe six college guys. They all lived in this big house, and they all shared the rent so they could afford it. And he tells a story that one night he came in, and there was a mouse up on the counter. So he shooed it away, just a mouse. And he said in a very short period of time, their house got overrun with mice because it wasn't attended to. And this is the thing with depression. This is the thing with depression. If we don't attend to it, you know, depression is something that should run a short period of time. You know, that we should feel maybe blue or down in the dumps. We're created that way. But when it goes on and on and on and on, and we have no control over that, it controls us. That's when the time comes that we can't mind over matter it. And how ridiculous is it for us to think that we ourselves can mind over matter depression? We can't do that with sin. We need a Savior, didn't we? So it only makes sense that we, when depression grabs hold of us, or we feel like we're running off, sliding down that slippery slope, that we wave the flag. We do what we need to do. Let me read to you first person depression. This is someone that wrote this that was very depressed. It takes the greatest effort to get out of bed in the morning. I'm tired all day long, and yet when night comes, sleep evades me. I stare at the ceiling wondering what has happened to my life and what will become of me. My mind will not shut up. It's as though my mind is like this shovel and it's constantly digging a hole that I keep falling into. Nothing is getting done at work. Nothing's getting done at home. I have projects that I need to do that I can't seem to complete. I can't think. I try to focus on my work and I get lost. I keep wondering when the boss is going to discover that I haven't accomplished really very much. My husband doesn't understand. He keeps just looking at me and saying, "Get over it." I am irritable all the time and I yell at the kids and then I feel terrible later. Nothing is fun anymore. I can't read. And the music I used to enjoy so much does absolutely nothing for me. I'm bored, but I feel like doing nothing. There are times when I am alone that I think that life is hopeless and meaningless, and I can't go on any longer. That absolutely is depression. And I can tell you this, I've been there, done that. And that's not a good place to be. Now, I want to share with you someone out of the Bible, what this person writes. Listen to this. "I am bowed down and I'm brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain." And in case you guys don't know this, depression can affect your physical health. "There is no health in my body. I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of my heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone out of my eyes. My friends and my companions, they avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away from me, and those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin, and all day long they plot deception." How many of you have been depressed enough that you think that everybody's against you? "I am like a deaf man who cannot hear. I'm like a mute who cannot open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply." Does that sound like depression to you? Absolutely. Does anybody want to make a guess who that was? David, who said that? All right. King David. David, and if you take a very close look at David's life, he wasn't a very depressed man. If you go into the book of Psalms and read a lot of his Psalms, the Psalms of David, you will see that he grappled with depression. Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. Abraham was depressed. Noah was depressed. Elijah. I mean, I think, you know, and there's circumstantial depression. I think that, you know, even for just a sheer moment, I think even for just a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, "Take this cup away from me, I can't do this." How can Jesus tell us that he's experienced everything that we've experienced in this life and not have had a taste of that himself? And so this is common to man, and here's my fear. We are seeing more and more depression. We're seeing preschoolers with depression. We're seeing young kids with depression. We're seeing adolescents with depression. We're seeing senior citizens. I used to work in geriatrics. Depression, depression, depression. As a matter of fact, do you know that in senior citizens, there is a thing called pseudo-dementia? And that means you don't have dementia. That means that you appear, you look symptomatic, like you have depression, or like you have dementia. But they would come into treatment, we would treat them for depression, and it would clear up, and their thinking would become clear. And I want to tell you something, when you become depressed, you can't think clear, you don't care. You sleep all the time, your eating habits change, you don't want to be around people, you want to isolate, you become angry, you cry a lot. There's so many things that happen. But what we see is in senior citizens, we see a lot of pseudo-dementia. Someone was talking to me just the other day from this church about their father and telling me about them, him. And I said, you know what, I bet my bottom dollar that if he were treated for depression, that dementia would go away. He's not any more demented than I am. Of course, some of my friends might question that. Senior citizens were seeing it. As a matter of fact, do you know that 80 white males between the ages of 80 and 85 years old are twice as likely to commit suicide than the general public? 80 to 85-year-old white males. And I could talk to you about that and explain that to you, but my time is limited. Adolescents, we're seeing self-mutilation, we're seeing all kinds of stuff with our adolescents. But I'm telling you, what comes into our eyes, are we not cautioned to watch what comes into our eyes and watch what comes into our ears? And I'll tell you this, we can get so asleep in our world that we numb out and we get used to what we're putting inside of ourselves. And we are living in a communicative society right now. Can you believe? You can actually see real dead people on television. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We don't see reenactments, we see actual things. And not only that, we're in a high-tech society where we can, on our phones, on the computer, say anything to anybody, and we can hide behind a keyboard or a pad. And we say things and we do things that we would never do to that person in their face. Would you agree? And I'll tell you this, it's profound with adolescents. And adolescents are in a stage where they're trying to develop who they are and figure out who they are. It's pervasive. And it's something that we really need to take a deeper look at. It's like solitary confinement when you become depressed. You begin to lose so much. You even lose your faith. I'll tell you, I found at one point that, you know, I would say to God, I know I'm not talking to you, and I know I need to. And I would tell myself, I need to be talking to God here. But you know what? My mind became like a vortex. And that's one of the things about depression. If you've ever pulled the plug on a bathtub and watched it spin like this, that's what our minds are like in the society and the environment we're in. Would you agree? We are getting whirled, and we've got so much input that is so negative, and we just kind of take it all in. And if we don't watch it, we end up, like John Piper says, with such a mindset of self, and I don't even know that it's self-worshipping, it's just self. And I can tell you this for Cheryl Carpenter, and I'm being real disclosive with you, once I start getting turned inward, I might as well get me some bright red paint and write Titanic across me, because I'm going down. And the same thing with you guys. In renewing our mind is what we have to do. Now, we can go to the doctor, because sometimes depression comes from illness, can make you depressed. Sometimes medications that we take can make us depressed. Sometimes in our family history, we have a tendency to depression just like we would to diabetes, heart disease, you know, many other things. We need to be aware of that. And so there's some things that we can do, and I want to share those with you guys on the 17th. But what we really need to do is learn how to renew our minds. To renew our minds. Because our minds fill up with the stuff of this world, and even more so with self. Would y'all agree? Absolutely. And as Christians, we should not suffer with depression. We should have speed bumps in life where we lose a dog, we lose a family member, we lose our job. I mean, just different things like that where we have speed bumps of depression, but we should never fall off in a hole like in the movie where all of a sudden we're down in this hole and all these spikes are there and this roaring lion and there we are. Ah! How do we get out of this? Now I'll tell you this. Mike, I'm getting ready to be finished, I promise. When I talk to God, I just talk it, just as plain-laced as I possibly can with Him. And I can remember at one point talking to Him as a therapist because our emotions come from our thinking. And that's what I want to talk to you about on the 17th. If you are willing to listen to me babble one more time, I promise I'll make it worth your effort. But I can remember asking God, God, why didn't you create my brain like a toilet so that when it gets all dirty, I can just get a handle and flush it and get some clean thoughts in there? He had to have died laughing at me. Simply because we can renew our minds. We can renew our minds, and that is the key. Sometimes we need, you know, other things to help us, but renewing our minds is the truth, and it's the way. I have so much more I want to say to you, and I find myself kind of like Carol Burnett saying, I'm so glad we had this time together. Seems we just get started, and before we know it, comes time I got to say bye so y'all can get out of here. And I appreciate you letting me bend your ear about it. I used to teach tobacco cessation classes to adolescents that got caught smoking cigarettes because it's a controlled substance. They had to come for 2 weeks, and I would teach them. And one night, one of the boys said, Miss, we come in here and we sit in here and we listen to you talk about tobacco and all the bad things about it and cigarettes, cigarette companies, and by the time I get out of here, I'd kill for a cigarette. So the last thing I want you to do is say, man, that old woman they had talking up there, I came in pretty good, worship. And then I was so depressed, I didn't even have to crawl under the door. I stood straight up. I was so low, I just walked right under the crack of the door. I don't want that to be you. I want to come back and pick up from there if you are good with that. If you would let Mike know, I would love that. I'll have some notes for you, and we'll go on the uphill swing of it. Thank you so very much for letting me come and talk to you today.
As I was listening and making notes and stuff when Cheryl was talking during the first hour, the Lord kind of drew my heart to a passage of Scripture out of the 57th Psalm. It's one of David's Psalms, and it dovetailed and tethered in so perfectly to what she was saying. David writes this, he said, my soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. And he said, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. But then he says this, they themselves have fallen into the midst of it. So be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken with the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens. And your truth to the clouds, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let thy glory be above all the earth. And as I'm reading that, I'm hearing about this man who deals with some of the depressive tendencies and the events that Cheryl talked about to us today. So folks, here's what I want you to get from the very beginning. There is hope. Don't leave here with no clue or no idea about that. That is a certainty. And for those of us who are believers, the Scripture says you are continually transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you drop God's Scripture, God's truth, the fact of who God is and what He is in our life into your mind, that has a transforming effect.
And so don't leave here without the understanding that that is true. Grab that. Some of you guys, you're going, you know what, that renewal thing is fine, but man, I've never experienced the forgiveness of God. I've never experienced the redemption of God. You talk about being blood-bought, forgiven, redeemed children of God. I don't even know what that's about. Well, listen, friend, you're in the right place because that can be yours today. So we're talking basically kind of two kinds of people here today. Those who need to experience the incredible washing and forgiveness of God through the forgiveness of their sins. And those who are already forgiven who just need to be being continually renewed. And so as we pray here now, we're going to do that. When we're done, we're going to have our offering, a few announcements. We'll get you guys out of here. We got some exciting things to share with you here in just a minute. But pray with me and let's do business with God first. Can we do that? Right where you sit, right where you are, you know what God has said to you. You know what God has been dealing with you and your heart about over the holidays and over these last hours. Maybe over the blizzard this week, you had some downtime to just kind of sit and think and consider. And God's had some communication with you. Man, folks, you just had a divine supernatural encounter with the living God. Now let's do something with that. And talk to God about it. And when God talks to you, do what He says. Those are two of the most important things you can do. But let's pray about that right now. Heavenly Father, we pray over this people. We pray over this flock that you have brought together here at the Heights Fellowship this morning. Father, we thank you for Cheryl's encouragement, for her words. Father, that we are getting a better understanding of the fact that, listen, this is something that's out there. And it affects believers and unbelievers alike. Father, the enemy is still trying to steal and kill and destroy among us. Father, first of all, I pray that right now in these few moments that you would keep him at bay. Father, you would position your forces around this little room and you would do your business with finality and with certainty in these moments. Lord, there are some here who need your forgiveness, who need to know that their sins have been forgiven, who need to know that they have been set free from the effects of sin and death, that hell no longer has to be their portion, that heaven and eternity and glory can be their portion. It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done or how far away from you they may be. Lord, you give us the opportunity to be forgiven in Jesus Christ. So Lord, if that person is hearing me right now, that they would just breathe a prayer to you where they are, Father, forgive me. Lord, set me free from my sin. I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus died in my place. I believe the cross was for me. I believe the blood covers me. And Lord, I claim that and ask that you, on the basis of what Jesus did, that you would forgive me. And Father, I pray that right now you would put your Spirit in them and they would know with a certainty. They walk out of this place redeemed, refreshed, and reborn. And then Father, there are a lot of reborn people here who need to be being renewed. Father, we would give our minds to you. We would begin to invest in your word and your scripture and hear what you say and believe what you say and then do what you say. Father, make 2016 a year of victory, that the forces of the enemy would fall and the forces of good and godly would advance. Father, that we would see that here in this room, in our families, in our city, and in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.